Hello, I'm Jeff Watts.
And I'm Paul Goddard.
And welcome to the Agile Pubcast, the show in which Paul and I discuss what Agile is really all about over a pint or two in the pub.
In each episode, we chat about our experiences as two Agile coaches in today's ever-changing world.
So grab yourself a drink in the bar, pull up a chair, and enjoy what people are saying is probably the best Agile pub-related podcast in the world.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, buddy.
Good to see ya.
How are you?
I'm alright. A bit cold.
It's cold, isn't it? A bit, yeah. Weather's turned. It's a bit chilly now. A bit chilly.
Nice and sunny today, then.
It is. A beautiful view outside. You can't see it out here, but we certainly can. We're in sunny Gloucestershire. This is Gloucestershire, isn't it? Is this technically
probably.
Gloucestershire?
Probably.
Technically Gloucestershire. Yes, it's a cold, sunny day.
So, you know, you had this overheard at work.
Yeah.
I don't really see that as much anymore, actually.
No, OH.
But, yeah. OH. We're going to have overheard at the bar. You know, in the bar and you overhear something. You think, what on earth are they talking about? They probably had a few.
Overheard at the bar.
So I had something. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just explaining why I'm right.
Yeah. Basically means be quiet and listen to. Let me say my piece and don't respond.
We did something in one of our courses a while ago where we would encourage people to actually debate.
Yes.
Because we think actually being able to respectfully argue with people is quite a good skill.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be able to pick apart ideas, compare and contrast, but it not be personal, like you see so often in social media, or maybe in a bar after everybody's had a few.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to position as the theme of today.
Okay.
Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Plenty of things that I mean. I still. Do you want me to bring one up? Something I heard the other day.
Why not? Seem so appropriate.
Should we name who said it? Are we doing that? Or should we just say overheard?
Is it bad? I don't know.
All right. I bookmarked this the other day because I saw it on Twitter. I didn't respond to it, but I thought, that's an interesting point of view. That's worthy of a debate. And it's from John Miller. I will name who it is. It's John Miller at Agile Schools. And he tweeted, again, it's in speech marks, so I can assume he's heard or seen someone say this. The statement is, the Scrum Master is accountable for the Scrum team's effectiveness. And then he's put just a question, how? ? So what do you feel about that statement, Jeff? Scrum Master is accountable for team effectiveness. It's a bold statement.
Okay.
So
I'll argue for that motion.
Okay.
And you can argue against it.
Got it.
So the Scrum Master is responsible for team effectiveness.
Tell me why that's right then. Tell me why he's right.
So as a Scrum Master, part of my job is, in fact, I would argue, the main part of my job is to create and support the creation of an effective team. I'm not responsible for actual delivery. I'm there to create a group who are effective in what they do. And if there's any impediments to that team's effectiveness, whether that be outside of the team, inside the team, actually the team itself, my job is to get those impediments removed. And if the team isn't effective, then I'm not removing those impediments or I'm not coaching them to success. I've failed.
So to counter that then, I'm going to ask you a question. Is that undermining a sense of self-organisation? Because you've always said, Jeff, and I would agree with you, a Scrum Master's role is to eliminate themselves effectively from the process, from do themselves out of that role.
Yeah.
If that's the case, if they're accountable for team effectiveness, how are they encouraging the team to work without them? How, surely that team will just never become effective or will reach a plateau on effectiveness.
So I would argue that the Scrum Master is out of a job whether they're successful or not. So if they're successful and the team is self-organising, they don't need the Scrum Master, they're out of a job. If they're unsuccessful in developing a team to self-sufficiency, mm-hmm. then they should be out of a job mm-hmm. because they failed. Mm-hmm. So I would argue that Scrum Master is a transient position in theory. In practice, perhaps not so much.
Can accountability be that transient, though? Or does it need to be a constant? Does it need to have a set role, a home, a place?
Also, I'm taking this as quite extreme and saying if they're unsuccessful, then I would lose my job. But I think it's more a case of regular reflection. If I'm judging my success, I would be judging it against how effective I am helping this team become. And I would want other people to be judging my success on that. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily expecting this team is not very effective, therefore I'm going to sack you. Mm. But if I were to take it to that extreme, then that would ultimately... Yeah, and I think I'd put that in some form or another in my book. If the product is a bad product, mm-hmm. the product owner should kill it. Mm. If it's not a bad product, if it is a bad product and the product owner doesn't kill it, then the product owner is held accountable for that. Mm-hmm. They're wasting company money. Mm-hmm. If it's a good product, but the team aren't capable of delivering that, then the product owner should ultimately find themselves another team that is capable or support their development so that they are capable. If the team have the ability but aren't effective enough, then the team should be looking to their Scrum Master for more help or get a better Scrum Master.
To what extent, though, could a Scrum Master say, I've tried everything, I'm dealing with idiots? So is effectiveness subjective? Well, it must be. So with poor performing developers, is your expectation for effectiveness lower? Or can you have still a highly effective, poor performing development team?
Well, I've told the story of what Ken used to say, that Scrum works with idiots. Mm-hmm. So you can get a bunch of people who are absolutely dreadful. No skills whatsoever, no people skills, technical skills, no sense of team. And, you know, stick them in a room for a month with a product backlog and Scrum works because it shows you how incapable and, you know, what your benchmark is, and then try something, make it better, and then see if the next sprint is more effective. So I think effectiveness is relative, and yeah. We'll bleep this out, but I'll say it just to make Paul laugh. You can only shit through the arsehole you've got. All right? So you can only work with what you've got in front of you. So then
would you label that as effective? As a Scrum Master's done their job in helping that team be effective?
Do the best I can with that team, yes. I would imagine that there are... That work is not done, though, because I imagine the long-term approach would be to change the composition of the team. Mm-hmm. If those people are really not very effective, perhaps they need to be finding a different career. Mm. And that would possibly be best for everybody.
I think the word effectiveness is an interesting one, and that's multidimensional in itself, isn't it? We could argue a lot longer than we will do on this about what the word effectiveness really means.
Well, you're arguing against this. You should be arguing against this.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you doing? Okay.
Yeah, I think I am. So I don't think... What don't I think? I don't think a Scrum Master can have that. I don't think a Scrum Master can solely be responsible for how something which is so dependent on other people, something which is so the expectation is there of other people to pull in and and create something and behave in a way that I, as a Scrum Master, have so little, not so little, but a fraction, a percentage of that capability.
And that's why the role's so good. Because they can. They can take a group of people and help form them into a well-functioning, self-managing team that can deal with conflict and can amplify the effect that they have way past the sum of the individual parts through their facilitation skills, through their people management skills, through their influence, through the respect that they have. And that's just within the team itself. And I think, for me, the bigger part of that argument, and it, you know, it's not some, I can't remember the last time I ever really agreed with anything John Miller said, but this this increased responsible for the effectiveness, the effect that that team has.
Mm.
And that goes way beyond the team and the product backlog and the product, because that team is having an effect on the rest of the organization. If their potential is realized. Yeah, I think back to some of the teams that you and I have worked with, and they weren't just effective in terms of delivery of value for a product backlog, for a product owner. They were effective in terms of increasing the sense of possibility, of role modeling change within the organization, role modeling an alternative paradigm. And the team itself don't necessarily care about that, but the Scrum Master who has a change agency responsibility is looking beyond just the team.
I still think that you could get 5-6 developers in a team that truly believe that they are being effective. Is that you're saying then that those 6 people could well be wrong in comparison to a Scrum Master?
I don't think I'm saying that. I don't think I meant to, well, I certainly didn't mean to imply that. I would say that as a Scrum Master, I would be looking at my responsibility to help all of those individuals within the team be as effective as possible, and the team itself. Now, I wouldn't suggest that all of that is down to everything that I do. Part of my approach would be to increase the sense of desire to be part of an effective team and mm-hmm. desire to be personally effective.
Mm. So let me flip this a different way. This is a question that comes up, and I'm taking a long way around of getting to my point here. Can a Scrum team fire the Scrum Master?
So I threw that out there in my book, is saying, well, actually, that almost a sense of Scrum Master elections. I put myself forward to, this is how I would help you, this is how I could serve you.
Mm.
And if I'm not enabling you, if I'm not increasing your ability to be effective, then you should be able to get rid of me.
So what happens then if a Scrum team believes that they're doing the best they can? They believe they're making a difference. They believe that they're working through the backlog. They're doing a lot of agile things. They believe they're being effective.
Mm-hmm.
They're causing effects within the organization.
Yeah.
But the Scrum Master doesn't. Does the team have the power to say, sorry, the Scrum Master's wrong. We are doing a good job here. Find a new Scrum Master. Find a Scrum Master that does agree with us.
So I think it's an interesting thought experiment, and given the position that I've committed to adopting, I'll say yes.
Okay. So what if they're a shit Scrum Master? What if their view of effect? What if they come from a Prince 2 background, and they've got a very distorted view of what good Scrum looks like, and they encourage all the wrong things to be effective? They could still be right. They could still have full accountability in that sense. Hired a bad Scrum Master.
Yeah, I think they if they're accountable for effectiveness, then you've got a disconnect between what A is thinking about effectiveness and what B is thinking about effectiveness. And I think from an agile perspective, we should be able to see that pretty quickly. if the Scrum Master has a view of effectiveness that turns out to be wrong, then that should become evident pretty quickly, and they will be held accountable for it. I would like to think they would be given some constructive feedback and an opportunity to reshape their view of effectiveness.
I think also this view potentially encourages a sense of this agile coach ownership syndrome, whereby you've got one person who's effectively leading an agile approach here. So the Scrum Master is taking on an awful lot of accountability here for the agility of that team. And then you'll just get developers that just do what they're told, follow what they said. They've got no increased sense of shared purpose about why they're doing these things.
There's a risk. Let me position it a different way. So I have a professional coach. I have a coach. Mm. Yeah, so let me put it another way.
Yeah.
And I don't know where this goes. This might not work, but
yeah.
So I have a coach.
Yeah.
I pay somebody to coach me.
Yeah.
Right? And while it's not necessarily explicit, I'm constantly thinking, is this person having enough of an effect on my personal effectiveness to justify continuing that contractual relationship? If I don't think they're effective enough, I'll sack them effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But from a coach's perspective, when people are paying me to coach them, I'm constantly telling myself, it's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a coach here. So they will determine the value they get from coaching. And so people can sack me, mostly because they aren't getting the most out of it, and that's on them.
Mm.
I think that's relevant.
Mm. It is. I would counter that by saying I don't think Scrum teams that I've encountered, and I'm massively generalising here, I get that, have that level of expectation, stroke interest, stroke desire to assess whether that Scrum Master is providing that level of effectiveness. I think there's a perception the Scrum Master is there to facilitate them to do stuff. I don't necessarily think they believe that the Scrum Master is there to make them more effective.
Okay.
And I think, so I'm not a massive fan of the word accountability anyway in the Scrum framework, how it's changed in the previous years, but I think my ethos has always been to try and increase shared accountability, and especially around those teams might have a better way of becoming more effective than I'm aware of. So why wouldn't I just want them to own that rather than me?
So then it's my responsibility to make sure they feel comfortable finding their own way to become more effective. I'll put it another way. If I was to take on a role tomorrow as Scrum Master for a team, one of the first things I would say to them is my job is to help you become effective. If I'm not helping you become effective, I'm not doing my job.
Mm-hmm.
I should fall on my sword.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Scrum Masters do that, though.
Just because they
don't. I think you're an exception. I think you're an exception to the rule.
So the argument there is that, well, what was the wording?
The wording was, the Scrum Master is accountable for team effectiveness.
So in many situations, I would agree that they're not. But I think there are many situations where they are.
Are they accountable for product owner effectiveness? Would you say? Because if they're Scrum teams in general terms, does that include the product owner? Are they effective for how effective a product owner is at being a product owner?
Are they accountable?
Are they accountable?
Not
to the same degree?
By default. So I think that depends on the contracting between the product owner and the Scrum Master. So I think the product owner can expect the Scrum Master to facilitate Scrum team effectiveness. So they are there to help improve the relationships between the product owner and the development team, and other things. But whether they're there to help, I think that would be determined by the agreement as to whether the product owner wants to be coached, for want of a better term, wants to be coached as a product owner by the Scrum Master.
Mm.
Now, I think I've seen situations where that's the case. And again, if I was joining a team tomorrow, I would offer that as an option to a product owner, but it wouldn't necessarily be one that every product owner would take me up on.
Unfortunately, I don't think a lot of job roles, adverts, recruitments are set up in that way. I don't, from my experience.
Now, that's another can of worms.
That's a different debate.
Yeah. So I think the main, you know, the argument there is around, well, if a Scrum Master's accountable, then are they going to crack the whip on the team? And does that actually stop the team from becoming proactive and responsible? I think in a healthy team dynamic, it doesn't. But I could see where lots of people would say, actually, no, the team's accountable for their own effectiveness. Well, I think it was a relatively respectful argument.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it, to... Because we've done this debating thing in classes that we've run. And sometimes it's really enlightening. We've had the feedback that it's enlightening for people to put themselves in a different argument away from what they believe in.
Yeah.
And I find myself wavering there quite a lot between, well, what do I really believe? And before I can have such a polarised view of the world, I need to have a more balanced view of it. Well, just to see both sides before I can pass judgment. I suppose it, so the whole walking into a bar and hearing someone at the monologuing to you about how right they are is probably a personality trait as well that I don't possess. I don't think I'd ever be that. I'm not going to deal in absolutes, but I'd find it hard to be that sure of myself.
I think the only time I'm that sure of myself is after I've had about 5 or 6 pints.
But even after I've had 5 or 6 pints, and so my wife picked me up on this, she said to me, you tend to always prefix, this is me, I tend to prefix things with, I might be wrong, but. And I think that's my kind of imposter syndrome, I suppose, thinking, or my low status approach thinking, you know, I can be convinced here.
But I think that's brilliant. I think everyone should think like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone should be open to the fact that they might be wrong. I think we learn more. I mean, what we encourage people to do is actually go past that and adopt the stance that they don't necessarily agree with.
But in a leadership perspective, could that be perceived, this is another debate, could that be perceived as a weak position? If you're looking to gain support, you're standing up in front of your team, your workforce, your employees, is it a weak leadership style to say, I may be wrong here, but let's build this product?
My personal opinion is no. And I think I would couple that with, so what we've done with this debate thing is get people to consciously put themselves in the shoes of the other side of the argument. Now, one of the huge benefits of that is you can, what we say, guess their thoughts. So you're building empathy for the other side of the argument. So even if I rationalise at the end of that, no, what I previously thought I still agree with, I can now have a conversation of, well, you're probably thinking this. You're probably worried about this. I've also considered this idea as well. And that sense of empathy just shows a humility. It shows that I'm considering your perspective. I'm not just dogmatic and just saying something and, you know, black is white regardless. I think that is incredibly powerful for people who are negotiating or debating.
And just that structure of having a time box almost, where you are purely just even trying to reserve judgment for the moment, but just hear someone out. Just hear their perspective, hear their thoughts.
Yeah.
Time box it if you have to. It's so easy though to switch off during that argument or during that speech if you fundamentally disagree. if it's in some way offending your personal values or your principles, we will just close ourselves out to that. Yeah. Well, I think it's potentially a trap to do that, but I can see how easy that becomes.
Yeah.
If it's just like, you've had too much to drink, Jeff. Let's talk about this again when you're sober. And timing is an important part of this as well.
Yeah.
And environment.
Someone who doesn't tend to adopt a I might be wrong stance.
Yeah.
Alan Hollow.
Okay, Alan, yeah.
I'll throw that out there.
Yeah, okay.
So, I've never actually had a conversation with the guy, and I tend to avoid his posts because he seems to adopt almost a deliberately clickbait style.
Yeah, inflammatory kind of.
So, I don't like that kind of approach. Polarizing.
Mm.
And I think we end up stuck. I don't know. I see things like that lead to disagreement about unhelpful things.
Mm.
So I don't know. He did something that he posted something the other day about, Scrum. You don't need backlogs to be agile. You don't need a product owner to be agile. You don't need sprints to be agile. You don't need any of that Scrum garbage. Right. And why? There's no need for garbage. There's no need for that. And you're just going to get people very, very defensive.
Mm.
I'm not actually talking about some of the things that he's talking in there about. Well, yeah, you can be agile without a backlog. You can be agile without a product owner. All he's going to get is defensive, heels in the sand, Scrum's not garbage. That's not the point of the argument, is it?
Mm. Well, I think a lot of these, unfortunately, with social media, a lot of these statements are there purely just for interaction and for publicity, not necessarily because they truly believe in it, but they'll give that. I'm not saying he does or doesn't, but I've never met the guy, but the way that some of these things are phrased, it's like you said, it's just inciting conflict. And I think even with debating, it has to be facilitated, it has to be structured. You look at Parliament, it's the same type of thing. The UK Parliament, generally we don't personalise our responses. We speak to a neutral facilitator, Mr. Speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I think unfortunately with social media there is no facilitated response. It's just loudspeakers.
Maybe this needs to be a new feature of our agile bar.
Yeah.
You need every place, every community has a sort of code of conduct, don't they?
Yeah.
Every bar. Well, we actually went to a series of bars, didn't we? What were they called? Miller.
I know the ones you've been in London, which had a...
No swearing.
No swearing. No heavy petting as well. There's something probably around that.
Yeah.
It came up on the radio the other day. Yeah, there's other bars in London which still subscribe to that.
I think there's an element of,
No standing at the bar either. You couldn't stand at the bar and drink. I think you had to be sat down.
I think in our bar, we should have respectful disagreement, not polarising argument.
Yes.
Otherwise, we should say...
You're barred.
Are we barring Alan?
Temporarily.
Okay.
We'll give him a suspension.
Okay.
A sin bin.
Okay.
See how he gets on. Yeah. Not that he'll care. He won't care about
that. He's had a few too many, and he needs to go
sleep
home.
Sleep it off.
Yeah, sleep it off, come back in the morning.
Yeah.
Come back tomorrow. Okay, fair enough.
See what happens.
Yeah, get out your bard.
Get out your bard.
I think...
We need a name for our new bar. Obviously, we're in a pub today, but there are going to be some times when...
when we can't be.
When we're not. So during lockdown, we had the social distance in, but I don't think that's something we should be carrying on now, seeing as we're not socially distanced anymore.
No.
So we need a new name. Maybe we should create a competition.
Let's put it out there. Because many ideas out there are going to be better than ours. Maybe.
Almost certainly. Almost certainly.
Yeah, let's put it on our listeners and watchers to come up with a new name for our agile pubcast themed.
Any constraints on the competition? Bar.
Any constraints? Only one entry per person.
Okay.
There's no cash prize.
I'm thinking of yeah. So it usually starts the something, doesn't it? Like this is the black horse, right?
Yeah.
So the something.
Yes.
And it's got to be agile related.
Yes.
And something and I you think could imagine a pub being called.
Yeah, I think it has to have a pub type name. Something you could distinguish as that's the name of a pub rather than a restaurant or a cafe.
Family friendly?
Yeah. So yeah, no expletives. Yeah.
Okay.
Something catchy, something memorable.
And as long as we get 10 entries,
yeah,
then we will pick a winner.
Yep.
And we'll provide a prize.
Will we?
Well, why not?
Okay.
We'll come up with a prize for the winner. That we pick.
Not a cash prize.
Not cash.
A prize.
Merch
prize.
Swag.
Yeah, we'll find something. Yeah, so get your ideas in either via the comments. I assume it would be down here somewhere.
Or tweet us.
Or tweet at the Agile Podcast. Or
even
Instagram.
DM us on Instagram at the Agile Podcast.
Yeah, all that social media way. And we'll pick a winner out. And your name... will forever be
read up in lights,
and inscribed in our memorabilia.
Awesome. One for the road.
Yes.
Here's one for the road.
Yeah.
I heard this the other day, and I thought that's very good. It's very clever. Do you think that whenever Pavlov hears a bell, he thinks about feeding his dogs?
It's funny, but it's true.
Yeah. It's clever.
What was one my kids said the other day? I'll probably get this wrong, and if I do get it wrong, we'll edit it out. I can't remember the start of it. It's about a chicken. It's something like, what noise does a chicken make? No, it's why does a chicken make a noise? No, what, and the answer is, my daughter delivered it much better than that. Why does a chicken make a noise?
Don't know.
Because!
Very good.
That's all I got. Terrible. Yeah,
there we are.
That was my one for the road, Jeff.
All right. Cheers, mate. Nice to see you.
So, what do we say at the end of a podcast?
Until next round, drink and sprint responsibly.
Cheers all.